Hello, greetings. How are you? We hope you are well. Happy New Year if you're only just catching up on your back catalogue of podcasts. Anna, today, a really exciting. We always love talking about stuff like the non-scale victories. What's happening beyond the numbers? Because going on a weight loss journey and doing that with the support of Slimming World is way beyond what the scales say, right?
100%. There, you know, the non-scales victories are the things that actually have a huge significance on your life. They're the things that have the impact in how you move, how you feel, don't they? And I think we don't prioritize them sometimes enough. It's a whole report card, and the scales is just one part, but the non-scales victories come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, and you know what? We hear from so many of you who love to email us and drop us Instagrams, you drop us DMs and stuff, sharing your story because, you know, we kind of hope that with this podcast, we're almost like holding your hand. We're like your cheerleaders in your ears whenever you need us to just tell you to kind of keep going. And we hear from so many of you who found these realms beyond, things that you're doing that you never would have dreamed of. And we love hearing about that. So we love to bring in different experts, different guests to just give you that idea, that motivation of things to help you keep going along the way. Today, we're going to think about losing weight if you're in one of the younger generations. And stick with this if you don't consider yourself young. Maybe you're young at heart, but stick with this because I think there's some important lessons here. I'm thinking back, Anna, when we both first joined Slimming World, I was 26 when I first started on that process of losing weight. Where were you? What were you doing?
Well, I'd been along with my mum before, but mine was in my final year at uni as a student that had been out drinking and eating and moved to Manchester and found the love of curry and beer and, you know, was on that final stretch in my final year at uni and feeling like I'd lost myself and I needed to lose weight. So, yeah, I embarked on it as a very poor student and have never left since then. So all those years ago, you know, over 20, well, it's 27 Christmases I've done as a Slimming World member now.
Wow. And, you know, I kind of think back of like how glad I am that I found Slimming World in those years, because if I'm honest, in my 20s and 30s, I was really grappling with finding my feet in terms of career. I didn't really kind of have an idea about what food meant in terms of nutrition and health. I was often eating emotionally, and I didn't really have any kind of clue about how to cook from scratch. I probably had maybe two or three recipes. One of those was beans on toast, sometimes with a fried egg, if I'm feeling a little bit wild. But, you know, in terms of like cooking skills, where were you at with that?
Well, this is the thing. I had had a repertoire of meals that I got that I knew before I went to uni. But I think what had happened to me was I'd parked that because I didn't and couldn't be bothered. I'd got into that takeaway phase because often it was cheaper to go and get myself a student takeaway deal than it was to go and do a food shop. And you know, like when you lived at home and with your mum, the fridge would have the food in it and you'd just have to eat it. But actually doing that shop, thinking, prepping, cooking was not something I'd kind of got in the habit of. But when I joined Slimming World, it was almost like an education. It was like I was at uni to get my degree, but at Slimming World to learn how to feed myself healthily, but also get that balance of still being a young person who wanted to go and party and have fun, but learning how I could get the balance of the two. So it did help me to understand how to cook and also on a budget, because I was so skint that actually, you know, I was prioritizing vodka over food. Actually, I got some really great hints and tips on how to batch cook and how to meal prep that I wouldn't have got anywhere else.
Yeah, that is very, very true. I mean, and it's interesting, right? Because we're going to get into some of the research and the statistics around what's kind of happening in the real world. But this idea that understanding what your relationship is with food, about mental health, about the psychology of what we eat and why we eat, this takes a little while to kind of unravel. And it takes a little bit of time to bed in. But doing that with Slimming World and getting that support from other people can help you. So I want to bring in someone who we've got on the podcast, and weirdly, it's almost like a year to the date since we had Laura Holloway, who is a researcher, part of the Slimming World nutrition, health and research team. Probably got all of that in the wrong order, Laura, but you get the gist. Welcome back and Happy New Year again.
Hi, It's so good to be back. Thank you for having me. And you got it bang on in order.
Oh God, some of these job titles. I need to actually start writing them down. But you
Phenomenal
know.
job titles. I want one.
You are the sensible one of Similar Podcast. I'll get you a business card. Right. So I want to first of all start with something which I think is a statistic which perhaps everyone, regardless of your age, should maybe be aware of. So this talks about global studies looking at the global burden of disease. What does that mean? It means about the risk that potential younger adults are facing in terms of future weight gain. That's a lot of words, but here's the headline which really stopped and made me think. Global studies predict one in three children, teenagers, and young adults could be overweight or living with obesity by 2050. One in three. You think between us, we have nieces, nephews, daughters, granddaughters, you know, whoever, younger people who we are aware of, and that one in three of those could be struggling with their weight as we have by 2050. I guess it probably faces that question really for Laura, for you to do some research about why this is the case and maybe what Somingwell can do to help in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the reasons we wanted to do this research. So we surveyed our members age 18 to 34, and this is what this research is about. And we've really looked into the changes that people have made when they've come to Slimming World that are going to set them up for life and protect their health in the future.
Yeah, I never forget. So me and Anna met because I walked through her doors and was a member with Anna. Anna was my consultant before I moved again. But we had a lady, didn't we, in your group, and she turned and said to me, it was during lockdown, I think, and she said, you know, I wish I had started with Slimming World when I was your age, because then I wouldn't be still struggling with this in my 80s. And that really stuck with me. You know, it's like actually, you could make a difference to gaining this lifelong toolkit for a healthy way of living, of building these habits earlier on in your life. And the impact that that could have is incredible. I mean, you were kind of hearing from members about some of the stories that they were sharing, and we titled this episode Beyond the Scales. Are you able to just give us some of the stories that people talk to you about, Laura?
Oh, I mean, we heard some gorgeous stories. So there were the number of people telling us that they, since losing weight, they have become eligible for IVF, or they've gone on to become pregnant as a result of that weight loss and becoming healthier. There was one member in particular that always sticks in my head because they had told us that they had never wanted to learn to drive because they just didn't have the confidence. Their weight controlled their life, and they really lacked self-confidence. And they came to Slimming World and they started losing weight. And as they did, they thought, do you know what? I'm feeling better about myself. I'm going to learn to drive. And when they were telling us all about this in the survey, and they said that at the time of writing the survey, they had just done their driving test and just bought themselves the car and passed their test. And so it's those things, it goes beyond, as you say, beyond the scales. It's the lovely stories, the individual little things that we're hearing that make all the difference.
It is so much bigger than the number on the scales, though, isn't it? It's the confidence, it's the ability to connect with people, to feel like you're worthy. There are the ripples of the non-scales victories are so big. And I don't think when I embarked on a weight loss journey, I realized how profound they were going to be, from having difficult conversations with people, for maybe going for jobs that I would have never have dreamed of, because actually I felt confident in my own skin, which then bred confidence in the rest of my life. I've had members who have gone on dating apps, which they never would have done before, or, gone and done a really exciting pursuits like, walking around Africa and things like that, which they never would have done unless they'd lost weight, because physically maybe they weren't able to, but also psychologically they didn't believe they could. And losing weight gave them the confidence to believe they could achieve many other things that felt hard as well.
Yeah,
Yeah.
even like 2 in 3 are looking at your findings here, say their mental well-being has improved. I mean, you say about confidence, but resilience is a word that comes up to me, because a lot of times in my 20s, things were quite unstable, really. I was kind of finding my feet in what am I doing work-wise? Where am I going to live? Sorting myself out financially. You know, I was chopping and changing and moving to different locations. And it felt like I was kind of walking on shifting sands. And I think having that kind of structure available with Slimming World to kind of support you with that real life connection, no wonder that, you know, almost 2 in 3 people say that their mental well-being has improved.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the resilience there, and that's key. And also self-esteem. You know, the research showed us that they have a really strong sense of self-esteem, which I think in this at that age is particularly hard. I know when I was in my 20s, I really lacked that self-esteem. And when you've got all these challenges going on, like you say, you might be at uni, you might be trying for a family, you might be starting a career, you might be in an established career, you know, all these different things going on. And then you're struggling with your weight on top of all that. It's a really difficult time. And Slimming World members tell us, as you say, that their well-being is improving. They're feeling less down. They're feeling more relaxed. They're feeling just generally a happier person. Their confidence is soaring. And I think that's really key. They told us that they feel more confident in their ability to lose weight and more confident to make healthier choices when it comes to food and managing things that get in the way of their weight.
I think sometimes you can feel, or I felt this, that I felt so chaotic with my food that then the rest of my life felt chaotic, and actually allowing myself to take control, then feeling a success at that, had such a ripple effect, because it made me understand that actually I could make things better in life and actually I could control them. But also how food and my eating had played into my mental health and my physical health. Actually eating well. Claire and I talk about this, about having energy, about feeling lighter, not feeling bloated and stuff like that. You don't realise, or I didn't realise when I was a lot younger, actually, how the direct correlation between that physical and mental kind of well-being. So it is really kind of a lot deeper than perhaps we realise when we embark on a weight loss journey, what's going to happen as a result.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even the idea about food, one of the things that I had to really work around for those early years was I was working very long hours, often shift work as well. And I naturally went for convenience. I went for grab and go options, meal deals. I ordered, you know, at one point I was ordering 3 takeouts, 3 deliveries a week, because I just didn't have the mental capacity to work out what I needed to cook or, you know, what I needed to do. So I think I had to re-educate, as Anna mentioned, about learn, okay, so how does this work? What are the different fruits and veg that I like? How can I swap out these sugary foods, these high fat foods? And what does like kind of a healthier eating plan actually look like? I had genuinely no idea with that. And I think one of the things that can be really quite concerning, I suppose, in today's society is, you know, you can't turn the telly on without an advert for the fast food app button pressing delivery service coming at you. We're hearing more information about weight loss injections as well. There seem to be so many different messages for young people that it's almost overwhelming. I mean, Anna, I'd be intrigued really, like, you know, for the youngsters that are coming into your group, what are they getting actually from that real life connection? Because that's something that your delivery app and maybe your injection won't give you.
You know, it is incredible to watch. Often I sit back as they're all getting weighed or sitting in group and watch the interactions. And I've just come out of group and I've had a lovely 17-year-old young lad and my oldest member, who's 90 in that group, sat next to each other, having a chat, having a brew, talking about their recipes. I think what I see in group with the younger generation mixing with everybody else is we're all learning from each other. So whether it's, you know, someone saying, actually, this is how you can make a stew that actually is inexpensive and you can cook, to someone, we were teaching some of the older generation today about ramen and sushi and actually having those discussions. We're all learning from each other. But I think what I see is In today's society, there is such a lack of social connection. Actually, people coming together, understanding each other, understanding actually how being in a room full of people who are feeling the same way can lift a burden. But the learning they get from each other on, actually, do you know what? We've got a young lad who wants to go out and party with his friends. How can he do that and still lose weight? So it's that kind of fountain of knowledge that trickles down through all the generations. It's gorgeous to watch these connections that happen.
Yeah, that sense of belonging, I suppose, can be missing in today's digital world, can't it? You know, it's a time where lives just feel dominated by screens and we're all working remotely from our spare bedrooms. I can kind of see how, you know, that the idea of having a weekly face-to-face group will just feel like a breath of fresh air for people.
You've got to think though, Claire, like in today's society, where do you meet a whole group of different people together in person? It's very, very rare, you know, so many of us working from home or all of that. And what I love about it is so many different types of people, generations, cultures all come together for like 40 minutes and talk about food and losing weight. It's a really powerful experience if you've not had it before.
Yeah, I mean, what did the research say about that, Laura? We're clearly kind of seeing the examples ourselves, but you did the hard evidence-backed stuff here with 3,000 members. What did they say?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they feel the same, I think. Anna, you just summed up perfectly what our members were telling us. I mean, 92% told us that they feel part of a supportive community, and the different generations are all bringing people together, and they're feeling really inspired by the rest of their group and that they can relate to the rest of the group. I think what's really lovely is they said that it's the one place they can be true to themselves. They feel safe. They feel safe to speak openly and honestly. And everybody else in that room understands them. They feel like they're really understood and valued in the group, that their opinion is valued.
And, you know, I was reading about how it helps people kind of have a better relationship with food and the way they think and feel about food. Can you tell us any more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So 89% actually told us that they now have a healthier relationship around food since joining Slimming World. And they also told us that they feel more supported to change their mindset around food. Because I think, you know, as we know, when we're struggling with our weight, we can develop quite sort of negative associations with food. And you know, when we do enjoy a meal, we end up sort of resenting ourselves for it. And it's a bit of this spiral. But when people come to Slimming World, Slimming World is supporting them to change that and to start feeling more positive about food and thinking about food in a really positive way. And I find their love of food again.
Yeah. I mean, I also think back to one of the things that's come up in your findings is people's relationship with stuff like alcohol. And, you know, we're in a society where we're told to celebrate, to commiserate, to wish in New Year's Day, to have a drink if you've had a tough week on a Friday night, have a drink on a Monday night if you've had a rubbish Monday. You know, we're bombarded a lot with these different messages. And I have to say that one of the biggest things that I had to face was my relationship with alcohol. It wasn't working with me. It was a bit of a crutch, I think, for me to run away from facing difficult emotions. And I had to really go on a journey with my mental health. But it wasn't until I joined Slimworld, like, you know, to really start to unlock that process of what my relationship with food was, that then I could see how that related to my relationship with alcohol too. And also kind of learn about how to make swaps, how to manage that in a social situation. I mean, did alcohol come up in these findings?
Yeah, it absolutely did. What was really nice to see was that the government recommends that we don't drink more than 14 units in a week. 99% of the members who did this survey were drinking within those guidelines, which is amazing. And yet they told us, because I think, particularly, you know, in my 20s, alcohol was a huge part of my social life. And these members told us that they have a great social life. They still love going out. They still enjoy themselves. They said that they actually feel supported to make those healthier choices, whether they're eating out or, just going out for a drink. But we saw this research showed us that so many members had made changes to their alcohol intake, whether that's cutting alcohol out completely or just cutting down or making healthier changes, perhaps substituting for lower alcohol drinks.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because until I joined Slimming World at uni, I didn't understand about alcohol. Now, I know that sounds bizarre, but I went out and partied and got hammered. And actually, what Slimming World allowed me to see is different alcohol content, what was in alcohol, like why was it so high in calories to understand about it. But also, what it taught me to understand is how it affected me in my food and my behavior. And no one or nothing had ever taught me that. It was just like, let's party and go and drink. And actually, I haven't had a drink for 9 years now. And that the reason I chose to do that is for health, for well-being. But also, I knew the person that I was trying to create, a slimmer, healthier, happier person. For me, I didn't need to drink anymore. But I was able to lose weight by making changes with alcohol and understanding that had a massive impact because as a young adult, I was drinking heavily, and perhaps that was so accepted, and we all did it, that what Slimming World did was say, actually, Anna, let's shine a light on this and help support you to make those changes, but you don't have to give up the fun. That was the biggest part, because my ultimate fear was I get ultimate joy from food and alcohol, and to lose weight, I'm gonna have to cut out all of it. No. And I think for anybody that's maybe a little bit worried, I think about putting a jigsaw puzzle together. What Slimming World did was teach me how to put the jigsaw puzzle back in a different way. It really did.
Yeah, those practical strategies, I think,
Yes.
of how to, it's almost like what do I say, like that toolkit. It's a toolkit for life of how a healthier, active lifestyle, well, what it looks like, what that maybe entails, that opportunity to practice, to learn from others, to build some new recipes. I mean, I started this as someone who hated reading recipe books. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like rules. I've just, I'm a
Never
law.
noticed that, Claire.
I'm a law-abiding citizen, just for the record. But now I can pick up a recipe and I can really kind of dig into it and know what I needed to do. But that's taken years of practice to get to that point. But this idea about having practical strategies, and like you say, Anna, I think that idea of, okay, what does healthy living lifestyle-y thing look like? That idea that nothing is off bounds, you can eat whatever you want, but maybe there are certain food groups that you possibly need to put some boundaries around, and measure and just keep in check. I mean, I guess that idea of sitting in a room with people who are like-minded to them, Laura, probably come out with them so that they can understand and feel that empathy with people who do like to have a drink, with people who do like to have cake when they go to a coffee shop.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? It's interesting because, I've told you some of the stories that we heard in this research, but one member had actually said that it was her coming up to their birthday, and their friends and family had said to them, "Oh, you're not going to your Slimming World group on your birthday, are you?" And they said, "Of course I'm going. That's where I want to be. That's what I enjoy." And they said, "I can't think of a better group of people to spend my birthday with." And they did. They went to group and they had an amazing time. And they said, they had a little party for them and they just walked away that evening feeling amazing.
Aww.
It's a family. I don't think people recognize this, but I was saying this to someone the other day. It's a family I never knew I needed, that I have supported me through everything. And I say that as a member, as a consultant. And actually, the confidence they've given me to trust in myself and trust in my habits and have the confidence to have those conversations that says, actually, it's my birthday and I'm not choosing to eat a whole cake this year. I'm choosing to do X, Y, and Z. There's something about the armory it gives you and an understanding of yourself. And that, you know, what's lovely to see in groups is there's someone who's done it before you and there's someone that's coming up behind you. So you can almost see from every angle what it's like to do. So it's such a supportive place to be, I feel.
Yeah, and also being sat next to people who are maintaining their target weight range, in
So
this
inspiring.
6 pound bubble, that I think that is really key, isn't it? Because you can see all these kind of quick fix methods that are out there. They're not tried and tested. They're not always scientific backed.
Absolutely. People do want to know that, and rightly so. We want to know the evidence behind. We don't just do as we're told, and that's what's key. Slimming World started over 55 years ago. It was based on evidence, and yeah, that is my team and many team at Slimming World, their role to stay up to date with the evidence and make sure the whole Slimming World plan is in line with evidence. And it's just so important to be aware of that.
Well, 55 years doing it in the business makes a difference. Can I pick out one little statement which I thought is an interesting one in the world of social media? Well, this idea that it's not just about how we look, but it's also about how we feel, like looking beyond the photos of some of these people and situations. And I think that idea about thinking how you want to feel is just as important as how much you want to look. And that's maybe something that I hadn't really thought about when I first started thinking about losing weight. Okay, well, there's a lot to think about here. And whether you are in that age range or you're not, if you know someone who maybe needs that support, invite them along. Bring them to your group. You know, get them involved. If you've got a family member, get them involved. And I think this idea about this phrase about beyond the scales, it's always worth all of us thinking about how is it that we want to feel rather than just what we want to look like. And also, what are the non-scale victories that we really want to lean in and celebrate along that process of journey? That is something which you can resonate with regardless of your age.
And also knowing that if group is something you want to try out, pick up the phone to the consultant, drop them a text, a voice note, a WhatsApp, say, listen, I want to come and join. And actually, what's it going to be like? And come down and see what it's like. Really know that that option is there. Just walk on in. But if you're terrified, we'll always meet you at the door. We'll always, you know, I think the apprehension I had, and I've talked about this so openly, about the apprehension of walking through the door as a young adult and being so scared because not knowing what I was going to encounter. If I could go back and give myself a message, it would be like, rip the plaster off and walk through the door because we are going to look after you. We're going to have a good time. And you will meet friends that you never knew existed in a Slimming World group. And they may be Doreen of one age and, you know, Simon, who's 10 years younger. There's so many different people. So just please pick up the phone if you're wanting to have a chat before you come down. Not just to me though, like the local consultant, by the way. We had to say this. Can you just ring Anna Mangan if you're in Scotland? Might not be able to help you today.
Laura, thank you for coming in and sharing some of these. I mean, this information will be on slimmingworld.co.uk if you want to read up a little bit more about it. I mean, I almost want to ask you, what are you going to do next? I bet you can't tell us, can you?
That would be telling, but we do have some things in the pipeline. So hopefully, this time next year, I'll be able to share them with you.
Oh, right. It seems like a yearly appointment then. We'll book you for next
Maybe.
year, right?
Yes.
I love that. Right. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening as well. We always appreciate you. And we hope that in some way we planted a seed of inspiration or motivation, whatever it is you need. If you are one of the people who have joined this year, welcome to our crazy crew. This podcast is here every week. If you remember, you can get us on the app. You can actually listen to the podcast first before the rest of the world. And if you aren't a member yet, but you're curious, you get us every other week. So that's all for today. We'll round it off there. The ukulele's coming in. See you in a bit. Have a great start to your January. Bye for now.